the ancient Near East must this incredible tale come from? You know the answer, of course. Our hero's name is Jean-Luc Picard. He's the son of a French winemaker who is now the captain of the starship Enterprise, still boldly going where no one has gone before. The setting for our tale is the 24th century, and the being is Q, a strange, omnipotent alien who appears regularly to torment, test, and further our beloved captain. It's just a science fiction fantasy show, right? And yet the questions that face the hero are, what would you do if you came face to face with God? How would you respond if you were asked to judge your own life? No small questions, I'll put out. Yes, I'm preaching about Star Trek, thanks to John, and I'm glad I did. I'm glad I am, because I'm ready to make a confession. I am a Trekkie. If you're at least friendly to Star Trek, you can raise your hand right now. Okay, we're all there. And if you've moved into that territory where you can start to debate which episodes are better than others, if you're a Trekkie, you can even raise your hand. There's no shame in it. Okay. I hope that for those of you who aren't as familiar with this story, Milou, that the message will be there all the same with our hero and our being. Most of the time, Star Trek is just a good, rollicking adventure tale, but sometimes it dares to be myth or even morality tale in the sense of these old 15th century plays that were put on where various beings come before a hero to help teach him to be good or bad. We have a whole vision of the promised land put before us on a regular basis. No money. There's no poverty anymore. They're still just as spontaneous and crazy as most other people, but they've figured out a system where they can all live in peace together. If you need anything, you just push a button. It's magically created there. So we have a vision of what the end times are like, which sometimes when I'm watching Star Trek, I think is a kind of humanist utopia, where all people of all species even can live together in peace. They never talk about religion, you know. Even though show after show after show is about how to decide what's good and evil and what we need to know to be loyal to our friends and deep existential issues when it's not just laser play and so forth. They're always asking, what is the nature of time? What is a self? How do our actions impact history? So it's a deep show at times, with these morality plays where an alien figure who represents some aspect of humanity rolls into the screen and the people have to decide, how will we deal with anger? Well, here's how you can deal with anger. This is a 7-foot alien whose whole face is always, and I am angry, you know. Just like an old morality play, what will you do with anger? And then there are the times where it moves even into the mythical, as I think is the case with this episode. And if it's not too pompous to say so, I see in Jean-Luc and Q's conversations echoes of Abraham and Moses arguing with God. All those ancient myths from Greece and Egypt and the Near East where the people get to argue and fight back against the demands that the divine places upon us. And the demand in this episode, of course, hinges on the question of regret. And the question, would you do it? And what would you do if you could go back and change history? How might you act then if you could take back what you know now? And maybe on an even deeper level, does my life matter? What are the meaning of my actions in the world with other people? Now, on a fairly trite level, the message of the episode seems to be you need to embrace the choices you've made, you need to accept the person that you are, and know that some of what you name as bad, your youthful arrogance or selfishness or whatever, is part of what makes you good. Jean-Luc would not become the wise and brave leader that he does become if he had not allowed this inner hellion a little room to live and breathe in his youth. That's fair enough. Right now, I want you to think about something that you regret doing. Like, actually take a moment. What is that story, that chapter in your story that bubbles up unbidden? Or that when it does bubble up, always brings a little twinge of pain with it still? We're going to consider the feeling and the dealing with regret. So hold something in your mind from your own life, something you regret doing or someone you regret being. When I consider such things, I think about betraying someone's trust. I think about a decision made that brought sorrow and confusion. I think about times I hid away or withheld my love, or the hurtful things I've said to people. I particularly think about the times I've put others in danger. This is a question the show doesn't quite ask. Jean-Luc has only asked, would he change something about himself that relates to his understanding or his self-conception? A more important question, if we look at the past for me, is how have our actions affected other people? If every experience I have is part of the tapestry of my life, then that includes those things I did where I learned a lesson or grew as a person, basically, at someone else's expense. Some of the things that people have done to each other are truly harmful. Taking advantage of someone, failing a friendship. While we're holding something here together, it might be recklessness that brought damage to another. People have killed people, self-defense or in a war. Our addictions may have cost us our family, and so on. Is the message of this story relevant in these cases? What I wonder is when Jean-Luc was given that view of himself as Lieutenant Junior Grade in charge of astrophysics, which was his new job on the Enterprise instead of captain, if in addition to seeing himself that way, he had been told that all those voices he heard in his head of the people who had died as a result of his decisions were wiped clean. If you could be a junior grade lieutenant for astrophysics and never have killed somebody, Jean-Luc, what would you choose? But they've only got an hour. What the episode does raise is the question of how shall we relate to our own past and to the choices we've made that have brought us to where we are. And it seems like there's just two basic ways. They're very close. The first, which Jean-Luc brought when he grimaced as he saw his youthful visage, is regret. And there are ways that regret can harm us. When we're trapped in mulling over or telling ourselves the same story of the kind of person we were or the kind of person that we are. And the second way is to look at it just as clearly, but to own it, to pull it in without the regret, and to see that even the things that on the surface we might name as bad might form part of a tapestry of our lives that we would not want to unweave. The temptation when we look at the past and hold that thing that always bubbles up and brings us pain is to hold it real tight and create a story about what kind of person we are or were. And if we hold that stuff too tight, those choices in the past, it clouds our ability to be creative and lively in the present, plain and simple, because we're giving the past all this weight that drags us in a certain direction. If you can just own what you did, your own hurt and the hurt you've caused others, you can have a different relationship to the road less traveled. To my minds, this is basically what is accomplished when people make confession and make repentance when we look at these things in our past, and it's sort of what Picard tried to do. Being honest with yourself and taking the hurts of the past honestly, maybe you have never cried about what you need to cry about. Maybe you haven't made amends or asked forgiveness or granted it. In my Zen group, when we start our sitting practice, we make a confession. It says, all my ancient twisted karma from beginningless greed, hatred, and ignorance, born of my body, mouth, and thought, I now confess fully and openly. too attuned to the confession thing as Unitarian Universalists, because we worry about to whom we're confessing. I mean, if it's just this trickster space alien, I don't want to get pulled into that thing. But it doesn't really matter to whom you confess. What matters is that you do, that you pull your life into yourself and hold it. And when that's really done, when we stare honestly at our past, sometimes that can really bring a sting, and that's the lure of regret. That sting is not necessarily a bad thing, because what it does is open our heart to compassion. When we hold our own suffering close, it's actually that much easier to see it in other people and then really become a useful person. I hesitate to speak from the wisdom of age in this congregation. But I will say, at the tender age of 39, that there's one thing I see now that's different from when I was 20 years old. Back then, like Frost's traveler on the road, the other paths looked like they were just right over here. I could still see them, in fact, moving through the grass as I trod the way I chose to go. Or I think of a river delta with those many different streams. You are going down one in particular, but well, it kind of seems like they're all moving in the same direction. And I know if I wanted to, really, well, I could row back to that starting point and go down that path, that other path I didn't choose. But as time passes, you look up on occasion and you see that some of those other paths that you might have chosen are now actually a lot farther away, maybe not even visible any longer. And the illusion that we could row back and do some other thing may be taken from us. I know myself well enough to know, for example, that I am not going to muster the strength to row all the way back to that spot that I need to go in order to realize my dreams of rock stardom, which I'll confess I've not yet fully given up. But from this vantage point on the trail, I find myself thinking, maybe someday I'll play in a little band. Maybe I'll record a song or two for my kids. I may never solo frantically during the jam session of one of my epic, hard-rocking yet tender anthems during a sellout show at a stadium. But am I going to let that keep me from enjoying playing the guitar around the campfire or when people come over? I hope not. I want to choose the life I have led, not the life I might have led. One of the hard truths of this human condition we find ourselves in is that we never really see how it all plays out. We can't really know what the after effects of all of our actions are. And in our own lives, from our ego perspective, some may seem huge that matter not a whit. And the tiniest little thing might flower into something unexpectedly wonderful. All those little gestures and kindnesses, all those little lies and shortcomings, who knows how they all weave together. And fortunately, even when one of the threads in our own life burns and stings, what we discover when we come together in places like that is that that tapestry of our lives is not just made up of our own experience. It may hurt for us to carry this big, painful thing, but we start to see the threads of our real life actually include all of these other people and all of these other choices. We're woven together much more deeply than we often imagine. We can know that our actions matter. Time rolls forward. We know this. We see it happen. It's our own sense of our finitude that seems to let us know our actions really do matter, just like Jean-Luc said. It reminds us to cherish each moment because it will never come again. In other words, what's done is done. We cannot go back and change the past based on what we know now. All we can do is change now with what we know now. All that from a Star Trek episode.